BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Hello, this is Wednesday's Scott Mills Daily. On it, 24 years at the tap end, about a special lady in my friend Chris's life. And we rehearse some possible outcomes with Chris ahead of his interview with a top Hollywood A-list star on Friday. Real or No Real features Toddler T. Enjoy.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.
I'm still not sure I get it. Gangnam Style, I get it. Harlem Shake, it's like off the 80s. I don't get it.
Have you not thought of doing one in like your house or anything yet?
No, I mean, I could, you know, join the millions of people on Facebook that are making them in their offices, but I just don't.
Is it over yet? Is the bubble burst yet? Because it does appear to me that everything's been exhausted now. We've had offices, and it's like, you know, it's gone really bad when teachers get involved. It's like we're getting every school. It's Noah Hill Harlem Shake. Do you know what I mean?
It's
all the teachers doing it for.
Nobody wants to see that. That was Bauer and Harlem Shake. I'm just not sensing the longevity of Gangnam Style here.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
You struggled a bit with the easiest film quiz ever that we did yesterday.
I did, yes.
Well, you got Mila Kunis, because she's fit, and you got Samuel L. Jackson.
Yep, legend.
And Judi Dench you got in the end as well.
There you go, I got Dench. I mean,
you struggled with Tom Cruise because he was wearing sunglasses.
I know. I got a lot of abuse about that on Twitter.
Did you?
Yeah, loads of people. Apparently wears sunglasses all the time.
Quite a lot, yeah.
You shouldn't recognise someone because they wear sunglasses, though.
So what's going to happen on Friday is we're going to send you to a hotel. And you would have seen this on TV. The star sits there in front of a poster of the film that they're promoting. And they answer questions. And this is from journalists all over the world that pile into this room one after the other, and they sit there all day and answer pretty much the same questions, and you will be one of those people.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about all this. I mean, you know, it's an area, it's a sort of weakness of mine, this whole film thing.
Are you stressed?
I am stressed a bit, yeah, because you won't tell me who it is. You know that statistically, I probably won't know who they are. So I don't really know what I'm going to have to say to them. Like, you're going to put me in a room with them.
I just like the idea. I can just picture it in my head of you walking in and like, don't know who that is. And they're expecting you to know who they are because they're really famous.
I know. This is why you find it hilarious. And I'm not just worried about that.
This could be gold.
I'm worried about, you know, even if I knew who they were, I'm slightly concerned about what you're meant to do at these things.
Well, I thought we could do like a crash course in interviewing today. You know, like on courses you go in and it's like one day or less than that.
But what the courses that we often have to go to here, they're very boring and they...
Most people have to go to courses at work.
Yeah.
And I'm giving you one now.
You're going to give me a course?
Yes, I am.
So how's this going to work?
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll pretend that we're in that situation. You've just walked into the room and I'm the star, sat there in front of the poster of my film, all ready and willing to talk about it.
Okay, and I ask you questions.
Sure.
With these kind of things, though, you've done them a lot, haven't you?
Mm.
Where you go to a room and interview. I know you've gone to hotels and lay on beds with these kind of people, haven't you?
I have.
That was work, wasn't it?
It was Mariah Carey, yeah.
What do I say? Like, where do you start?
I find it's best to start with a compliment, because if you do, then you're pretty much good for the whole interview.
Should I bring presents?
No, that's too much. So, like, you say hello, and then you'll be like, oh, I love you, or I love your work, or I love your new film.
I love you, as an opening.
Well, not as obvious, not like, hello, I love you.
Yeah.
It's more kind of like enthusing about what they do and about them as a person, because they will have a massive ego because they're a Hollywood A-list.
And should I be playing to that or knocking it down?
No, play to it.
Because I struggle.
Otherwise you're in for an awful interview.
Really?
Yes.
So be nice.
Be super nice. And a bit of a suck up. Every time I do these interviews, when people come in, like, oh, stop sucking up to them. Well, that's how you do it.
Right.
If you start on a negative, the whole thing will just collapse around your ears.
Okay, I can do that. And show interest in them, I take it.
Yes.
Right. No, I mean, I know that's sort of obvious.
Just because you're not interested in film people, lots of people are.
Okay. And if I may not know much about the movie that they've been in or what films have been in the past.
Blag it.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. I've done that a lot.
I kind of like this idea of a course, though, because I think it might help.
Okay, so we'll play this song and we'll come back and I will give you like a small lesson.
Okay.
Ahead of Friday, good?
Keen.
So my friend Chris here knows nobody in the world of films. I think that's wrong. So I'm trying to improve his knowledge by doing a crash course on interviewing film stars. Are you ready for this?
I think so.
So what we need to do is put you in the position that you're going to be in on Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be the star. I'm waiting by a poster of the film, which I'm going to be in. And you're one of many people that are interviewing me today in this room.
So you're
they come and they go.
Right, okay.
Okay, so if you go out and I'll tell... So imagine this actually happening. So go out the room.
Yep, okay.
Okay, come back in. And then as soon as you come back in, I am that star, okay? Imagine it.
Okay.
Channel it. Okay. I'm going to tell the audience who I'm going to be. Okay, listeners, I am now Jennifer Aniston. Come in.
Hello there.
Hi.
You look hot.
Thanks.
And who are you?
I'm Jennifer. Nice to meet you.
Jennifer?
Yeah.
Jennifer Ellison? No?
No. Who is that?
Jennifer Ellison off of off Brookside.
I don't know who that is.
And FHM.
Don't know who that is.
Are you the girl from Friends? Can you be Scott a second?
Sorry, go on.
Are you the girl from Friends?
Yes, I am.
So you're Jennifer Aniston?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'll start from there.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Hey, great to meet you.
You look amazing today.
Oh, thank you.
My mate Scott was once telling me that you cut sections out of your bra to jut through slightly. Is that true? Or was that a fact?
You can't... Okay, I'm going to be Scott again. You can't start with that.
You did tell me that, though.
I know, but you can't start the interview with that.
But that was her, wasn't it?
Yes, apparently what they used to do in Friends was have special bras where they cut the bits where the nips are. So she looked more, you know.
So don't, if it's
I wouldn't
her,
say that as
that
a first thing.
Okay, well, forget that.
Okay, I'm Jennifer again. Hi.
Hi, I think you look really hot. I really enjoyed your movie. Are you having a good day?
Sure, I love London.
Are you into taxidermy?
Why do you ask?
Because it's the only thing I can think of, if I'm honest. Can you be Scott again for a second?
No, yeah. Back.
It's tricky, this, because I'm trying to imagine you being Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
And that's hard to do.
Okay, why did you ask about whether I like stuffed animals?
I don't know, I just panicked and I thought, for some reason I was thinking about stuffed animals in my head and I just thought I'll ask you about it. It's tricky, this, isn't it?
It's hard. It's harder than you think, isn't
it? Yeah.
Can we have the next interviewer, please? Security.
Is that how it
works?
That's
how it could go.
It's a revolving door like that.
If you do the interview like that... That, like, they can just call for people and they will just floor you.
Really?
Yeah, you'll be down in seconds.
Be someone else.
Okay. Go out then.
Are we doing this again? Yeah.
Okay. Outside. Wait, outside.
Now,
can
yeah,
you give
out
me
there.
The sign?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll give you a thumbs up. Okay, I'm now going to be Morgan Freeman. Come in.
Hello, I'm Chris.
Hi there.
Oh, my word. Are you all right?
I'm fine.
You sound like... I saw this film called Phone Booth with Kiefer Sutherland, and you sound like the voice on the phone.
Are you sure that wasn't Colin Farrell?
And now who's he?
In Phone Booth.
Are you Colin Farrell?
No. But I don't think that Kiefer Sutherland was in Phone Booth, was he?
I think he was.
Was he?
Why am I talking like this now? What films have you been in?
Batman. I was also in The Shawshank Redemption.
Ah, okay.
That doesn't help you right now, does it?
No, I know The Shawshank Redemption. That's fine.
Have you seen it?
Yes. I really like you in
Have
The Shawshank...
Have you actually?
Are you Morgan Freeman?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Okay. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Really good.
It's a real honour to meet you, sir.
Thank you.
I struggle to understand why you agreed to do the adverts, though. Are you genuinely passionate about car insurance?
I wouldn't start on that.
But I didn't want
it's
to
not
start...
One of his, no, but it's like he's got a massive body of work that he's quite proud of. He's just done the insurance thing for a bit of money.
Is that him, though? I've wondered.
I don't think it is.
No, but it's tricky to start with a compliment with this because that will sound dodgy. I'll go with it, though.
Okay.
B. Morgan.
Hi.
Hi. You look really hot. No.
No.
You look very manly. You look great. Anyway.
Thank you.
How was film in the film? No? Right. Well, this is pointless, isn't it?
I can't wait for this.
This is ridiculous. I don't really know what to do.
Carry on.
You are a great man.
Thank you.
I think you should be the president.
I appreciate that.
I bet you have lots of money.
Sure.
And
thank you.
Know lots of people.
Right, okay. Can I go be Scott again?
Yeah.
Right, so all, you're not asking questions. All you're doing is just telling me things.
Yes, good point.
Right, so ask questions.
Okay.
Otherwise, they can only go yes and thank you. One more?
One more.
Okay, go out.
Okay, I'm going back out.
Okay, listeners. I'm now going to be Brad Pitt. Think about it. Come in.
Hello there.
Hi.
Oh. Oh, it's lovely weather outside.
Yes.
Is that a ladder in your tights?
My name is Brad. Nice to meet you.
No, I thought I'd start with a chat-up line with that. I wasn't sure who you were yet.
I'm Brad. Nice to meet you.
Oh, hi, Brad. You're right.
I'm not wearing any tights.
Brad Pitt.
Hello.
What's it like working with lions? Do people shout Maximus, Papadopoulos, Constavolos, Tulisa, Dopoulos at you in the streets? A lot?
No.
You sound like you're Morgan Freeman.
I know, I forgot which one I was. No.
This is tricky. I don't know what other films he's been in then.
I'd be Scott again. He wasn't in Gladiator.
Who was in Gladiator?
Russell Crowe. Good.
Maybe if I don't know what films they've been in, I'll just ask some general questions.
Okay, what have you got?
What do you have for lunch?
Right, but what are we actually gaining from that?
Oh, I don't know what else. I don't know where else me and him are going. What else are we going to talk about, really? What else do we have in common? All I can talk about is lunch or stuff that's important to me right now. All I can think of in my head, you know, it's who just had some lunch, is lunch. So I'm going to talk to him about lunch.
Oh, God.
I think what's apparent here is that I don't know what to do. If I panic and I'm not too sure about the films they've been in or what to talk about, I think what I kind of need is like a sort of bank.
Yeah, you need like a set list of questions that you could use for anyone.
Yeah.
I don't really have those because it does totally depend on who I'm interviewing.
But there must be some questions I can just ask them all. Everyone loves lunch. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know you're not keen on me talking to them about lunch.
Not that interesting.
But something along those lines.
Why don't we ask the listeners? Like, we need three questions that Chris could ask literally anybody because he doesn't know who it's going to be on Friday. Think Hollywood A-list. What could we ask them that could apply to absolutely anybody? Adam in Tunbridge has come up with a brilliant generic question to ask whoever the Hollywood A-lister is that you are interviewing on Friday in a posh hotel room. And that is...
Do you mollycoddle your tulips, Anne Swithenbank?
Just call can't them, do it with the Anne Swithenbank.
Just call them Anne Swithenbank anyway.
Do you mollycoddle your tulips, Anne Swithenbank?
So you know these four interns started working with us a few weeks ago. They had 3 weeks to create their own radio show. It's going out live tonight on BBC Radio 1 and One Extra at 7 p.m. And they've decided to answer this question, who is the future of radio? So there's like a radio election happening at 7 p.m. tonight. Grimmy, Charlie Sloth and Toddler T are given 20 minutes each to state their kind of manifesto. It's getting a bit nasty now. You can vote later on from 7 o'clock using text, using Twitter, using Facebook. I am supporting Grimmy, but then when Charlie Sloth came in yesterday to play Inuit Bingo, I told him I was supporting him. And we've got Toddler T coming in later to play Real or No Real.
So I imagine you'll be switching sides
again. At which point I'll switch sides again, because you know me, I hate confrontation.
You've got to pick one.
I can't cope with it. For now, though, Grimmy's left us this weird message to persuade you and me why we should be on his side.
This is a public service announcement from Nick Grimshaw to Scott Mills. Mills! It is Nick Grimshaw here on BBC Radio 1. You know me.
What's going on?
You better know me, Mills.
Is this Westwood?
I wants to be.
Beg for your support. Because tonight, on the biggest battle that's ever happened on Radio 1 and 1 Extra... to find out who will become the future of Radio 1. I know you got my back. I know that, Mills. I know you're gunning for me. You're going to elect Grimmy.
So want to be gangster.
Yeah.
You know that, Mills. Because I just think we've had so many nice times together. I think it would be weird if you voted for Toddler T, don't you think? Or for Charlie Sloth, like... We've been in a cab together before. It's quite nice. I think we're on the way back from an airport.
Overtired.
Chris Stark was there as well.
Yeah. Talking nonsense.
We went to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
We performed nightly on stage under pressure. I was there. I had your back. I held your hand. I encouraged you. I mopped your brow. I said, come on, Scott, you can do this.
Sounding desperate now.
The public love you. They want you on that stage. And we did a show with Joey Essex. Yeah. And a big fat man dressed as a woman. You can't forget those times when you're deciding who should win. Because if you choose Toddler or you choose Charlie, my heart will be broken and I'll get you.
Sure.
I'll get you bad meals.
Okay, good.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. Okay, so each DJ, Charlie Slough, Toddler T and Grimmy, given 20 minutes to perform tonight, then we all decide who is the future of radio.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Christian from Andover is a crispy keen donut.
Ooh.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Keen Jong Il says James. And Sean from Falkirk says he is the All-American Rejects.
Very good.
That's also very good. Keens of Leon. 19, Mike, Glasgow. Said that the wrong way around. Mike, 19, Glasgow.
Saying words.
Yeah. Hoping they come out the right way. Hi, Jake.
Hi, are you all right?
Yeah, how keen are you?
Sean Kingston.
You're way too beautiful, girl. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ready, it's next.
Scott Mills.
BBC.
BBC.
Radio 1.
Theme tune.
I've bossed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
We've been doing this for a while now. It's a series of excerpts from my friend Chris's fake autobiography. Still no publishers as we speak.
Well,
so
not yet.
If any publishers are listening, this is actually a hit. You're missing out here. People stop what they're doing every Monday and Wednesday at 1:45. To not publish this, well, you'd be a fool.
And also, when you say it's fake, I suppose these are all real stories from my life, and we've got loads now.
It's just not a book yet, but it will be.
Mm.
What a meaty book it would be as well. We've done so many.
Well, it would be beefy. I mean, we must be close to sort of 100,000 words by now.
Yeah. I mean, I know people that have written a lot shorter books than that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Out of interest, how many words were written in your book? Do you know?
It's very big print.
Is it?
I don't know. And lots of pictures. Anyway, I am J.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Keens.
Oh, wow, a double whammy.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'm Hakina Mutata. What a wonderful phrase. I'd like to thank Harriet Clark, who messaged me that one on Twitter yesterday.
There we are, Harriet. Ready.
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
Right. My first car was a red Vauxhall Corsa. I called it Caroline, and it was my mum's car.
Why do you have names for your cars, please?
I just called this one Caroline because I think when we all had passed our test and we were all getting our first cars, it just seemed like the right thing to do, name the car. I think it was just because we were really proud of, you know, driving and...
I find that odd. People really? That give their cars names, I find weird.
I don't know.
A lot of people do it.
I think there's a lot of blokes, especially, who name their cars and generally after a female name as well.
How old were you when you first had a ride in Caroline?
I was 17 when I started riding Caroline.
Right. Cool, so early.
Yeah.
Should we have not changed Caroline's name? Because you do that with all the other girls in Tap End.
I do.
Let's call her Enid.
Okay, well, no, let's keep it Caroline. It's all right, it's just the car. The problem with sharing a car with your mum is twofold. The first thing is that whenever someone asks you if it's yours, then you generally have to lie to pretend it's yours. And the second is that mums will leave weird mum things in it. And the same people will discover it's not your car when they find them. Do you know what I mean?
What does she leave in?
Well, I just mean like mumsy things. Like
your Werther's originals.
Maybe like your Werther's, but stuff which is quite obviously not yours. Or pot puree.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what's
when they've
stuff
when they've mummed it.
Small pungent flowers.
Potpourri.
Potpourri.
Yeah. No, not puree.
Potpourri.
Potpourri.
Anyway, they leave that kind of stuff in it.
Yeah, that.
And mates know it's not mine. Whenever I went to pick my mates up, I would always check the back seats for things that would give away the fact it was my mum's car.
A copy of Bella magazine.
Exactly. I would also attempt to make minor modifications to the car, but my mum was having none of it, so all of these had to be taken down by the time I delivered the car home. These included a tape converter, so I could plug in a portable CD or MP3 player, retuning of the radio, and an air freshener shaped like boobs that I hung from the rearview mirror.
What, so you'd put it in and then your mum would be like, take that out, Christopher.
Yeah, so any modifications I had to make, she said, that's fine, but they have to go by the time I return the car, because it was her car.
How often did you borrow the car?
Well, I'd borrow it often. As soon as I passed driving, I wanted it as much as I could.
What, so as soon as you got it off your mum, the boobs went in again?
I'd put the boobs up.
Mum comes back,
boobs
out.
Retune the radio, get the little MP3 cord in case I could plug that in.
Yeah.
It was all on.
Did you have any girlfriends that were, not girlfriends, but did you have any friends that were the girls that were in the car? Did they appreciate the boobs?
I think so, because the boobs smelt lovely. They were an air freshener.
Yeah.
It was just, I found them kind of amusing because they were in the shape of boobs. But no, the girls loved them.
It gave off a nice aroma.
Yeah, they loved them. I also had a hydraulic middle finger that I picked up from the shop where I buy all my Christmas presents.
Oh, God.
This was great and gave whoever was riding in the passenger seat an added responsibility. It was a rolled-up fist that attached to the back window with one of those sucker things. A small plastic pipe would then stretch to the passenger seat with a thing on the end. When that was squeezed, a middle finger would stick up from the clenched fist, issuing a gesture towards anyone that was travelling too close behind the car and therefore risking damaging Caroline.
So you were just protecting Caroline.
You weren't
just being offensive for the sake of it.
But it was the passenger seat's responsibility, that the person in that seat. So they had a little squeezy thing. You know those kind of things that go... And if they activated that, the finger on the hand would do this.
Just slowly up.
And slowly right. So you could make it go as quickly up or quickly down as you wanted. It was controlled by the squeezy thing.
Very versatile.
But if you went on that hard, it would literally flick against the window.
That's awesome. Because sometimes you need it to be quick.
Yeah.
If they've, like, nearly rear-ended you or something.
Exactly. I named the car Caroline as it matched the brand of the car, but also because I liked a song by Outkast called Roses and would play this on repeat. If you are listening to the audio tape and need a reminder of this song, press play now.
Oh, this is a good song, actually.
Caroline!
Yes!
Caroline, all the guys would say she's mighty fine.
That's good.
You see, this is the song to drive to, isn't it?
Yeah.
What a tune. This was the end song on a mixtape I would always listen to when driving around. Music up loud and windows down. Even in the winter, I would have the windows down and stay warm by turning the heating right up. Although I think, probably looking back, I look like a bit of a fool driving around in winter with an arm out the window.
You're the only one with the windows open, yeah.
Yeah, with Caroline coming out the window loud.
Was it system up with the top down?
It was system up with the top. What's that from?
Blue.
That's it, yeah. Anyway. One at a time, all me and my mates passed our driving tests. As soon as most of my friends turned 17, they wanted driving lessons. Then generally, it would take a few months to get the licence. As Chinese Dave was the oldest in our group, he was the first to pass his driving test. He also went on one of those intense courses so he could pass quickly. As only Chinese and one of the girls we knew could drive, it would be up to them to drive us everywhere, especially as there were new boundaries for us to explore. Chinese would drive us into London, as well as constantly pick me and the other lads up to go to football or just for a drive. At 17 years old, however, there was a price to this freedom, and it didn't take too long for Chinese to start getting annoyed with the price of petrol. To help him out a bit, I made him a CD for his car. It was full of old party songs, like the Ghostbusters theme, and a large amount of Will Smith songs. He hated it. I couldn't understand why, but I forced him to keep it so I could listen to it when we were driving about. The incredible thing about this CD is he still has it to this day. There's still the same writing on the CD, which I cleverly called Now That's What I Call Chinese Dave. Because it's a famous album that's out.
That's really good.
Do one of your advert voices for it.
Now That's What I Call Chinese Dave.
Yeah, you see, I think this is saleable. It was a brilliant CD. It had Will Smith songs on. I think Shaggy was on it.
It's sweet that he still got it.
Yeah. Although he didn't really enjoy the music, he still got the CD as it's become a symbol of resilience. A year or two later, when his car was broken into and stolen whilst he was at uni, the car was driven to and abandoned in the Milton Keynes area. Everything was taken. They emptied the glove box, even taking the car manual. But on the passenger seat remained the CD that I made for him. True story. Admittedly, it doesn't work anymore. It skips like mad. But I'd like to think it represents a deeper meaning.
That's... like, it just never goes away.
It never goes away. But they took everything. This is the weird thing. They literally took everything out of that glove box.
Only the CD left.
And I don't know if when they were driving, the CD was in there or listened to it, and they decided, no, you can keep that.
You can have that, mate.
It was almost insulting, I think, to Chinese Dave that they left that CD. Thinking about it, I owe Chinese Dave a lot for the amount of times he's driven me and the lads about. He was always happy to step up as designated driver, and we've had a lot of fun times in his car.
Oh?
No, again, badly worded. I just mean that we've been on lots of journeys and... don't. We had some adventures in that car, and as our boundaries were being broadened, valuable lessons were being learnt. Petrol is not cheap. And don't leave a booby air freshener in your mum's car. It leads to awkward questions. These are all lessons that you need to learn.
I just like the idea
17.
That every time you borrowed the car, you would have to put them back in again. And then your mum would be like, Christopher, I need the car tomorrow. Oh, better take the boobs out again.
It was a massive effort.
Just to customise.
Just to customise. And then every now and then the problem would be is if I couldn't be bothered, I'd bring the car home, run into the house, think, well, I'll just get up early and remove the boobs and the finger.
Never happened.
And every now and then I'd forget and my mum would go into the car, there'd be a finger up against the window, boobs in her rear view. Nightmare.
Theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
Scott Mills.
On BBC Radio 1.
A lot of people love to tap end today and can relate, like Liam in Swindon. Same, really. Used to do the same with his mum's car. Like, even down to the booby air freshener.
It's just really awkward because when you hand it back to your mum, you've just got to take everything out of it.
Hi, Lucy.
Hiya.
Where are you today, please?
I'm in Fareham.
What are you doing?
I'm doing coursework.
What are you saying about 24 years at the tap end?
Oh, it was brilliant. It was my life.
Really? What, have you got a booby air freshener?
No, I haven't quite got a booby air freshener, but... you know, I share a car with my mum as well, and it's a nightmare. She's always moaning at me and whining.
What do you have to change the radio?
Yeah, I have to change the radio station, and I have to take all my CDs out, and she's really small, so I have to move the chair and everything. It's awful.
Well, so she's really short and you're quite tall, so the chair has to get moved every time?
Yeah, I get in and I feel like I'm a clown in a mini.
Do you ever leave stuff in there by accident?
Yeah, all the time. I have to, like, scan it before I leave to make sure it's okay for her the next morning.
They go quite mad otherwise.
The amount of time she's come in and gone, Lucy, what is this?
What was it?
Dad. Oh, loads of stuff. My friends have left funny stuff in there on purpose to get me in trouble. They've left beer cans. It's a lot.
Do you pretend it's your car?
Yeah, I do.
Right, so it has to have a complete makeover every single time you use it.
Yeah, I go out and it's quite a new car, so all my friends are like, wow, that's quite new. How did you afford that? And I'm like, yeah, it's my car.
Have you got a name for it?
No.
Good.
I haven't.
Love you, bye. Love you, Lucy.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
So at the start of this month, four interns joined Radio 1. And they had 3 weeks, they were told, to create their very own radio show, to go live on Radio 1 and One Extra. 3 weeks is up, and that show is tonight. The show that the interns have created as part of Access All Areas. And tonight, they ask you, who is the future of radio? It's between Nick Grimshaw, Charlie Sloth and Toddler T, each of which will be given 20 minutes to kind of state their election manifesto. And it's getting quite nasty. Here's one of the three, Toddler T. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Very good, man.
Now, this is weird for me because I don't really like any kind of confrontation. So every time I see one of you, I'll go, yeah, sure, I'm backing you.
Yeah.
And now there's an awkward situation where I can't back all three. On the board that we've got here, which I have to write down who I'm kind of going for.
Yeah.
I had to put Grimmy because he was there when I wrote it.
Okay.
I thought you changed it.
No, when I saw Charlie yesterday, he came to do this and to do a Nuna Bingo and he was like, oh, you've voted for me, fam. I was like, yes. And now you're here and I like you also.
So what's the deal here?
I don't know.
I mean, one diplomatic way of going around it is the board out there is one, whoever wins that, it wins a point, for example.
Right.
Charlie's been ringing up everyone to get them to put their name on it, obviously.
Right, yeah, sure.
Then there's a Twitter trend, and I think there's a text as well. So
yeah,
maybe do all three.
Okay. So, and also, they won't be able to see who it is. Like,
nah.
They won't know my number.
The board, no, the board, oh, right, yeah, I see. The board,
text it.
Yeah, just text it.
I'll just tweet loads.
That's a good idea.
7 to 9 tonight this show is on, so each DJ, Grimmy, T, and Charlie get 20 minutes to kind of do their thing, and then you decide who is the future of radio. So if you wanted to vote for Toddler T, hashtag elect Toddler, hashtag elect Grimmy, I've got to do the others, or hashtag elect Charlie. Charlie Slough is taking it very seriously.
He's already in character. Well, even more of a character, shall we say. I just seen him out there and he's like, he's serious out there. Yeah. He's not playing games. He's already apologised for things I don't know about, i.e. what, like, listen, later on, things might happen and I'm just saying sorry. So,
really?
Yeah, he's not playing games.
What's that about?
Well, I don't know, just living.
Okay, so who's the future radio? Tonight, 7 till 9, it's all live on Radio 1, the show that the interns have created. You make your decision from what you hear on the radio tonight. They're all making a big effort.
This hashtag seems a little dangerous to me. Elect Toddler,
yeah,
right?
Just use the one
really
T.
Really careful with the spelling on
just
that
the one.
It's going to be a whole new evening, isn't it? All
that
sorts
is,
of problems.
Yeah. Elect Toddler, T-O-D-D-L-A.
There you go.
They are spelled
E-L-E-C-T as well.
Yes, E-L, definitely. Right, let's play Real or No Real. Have you got any message for the listeners tonight, why they should vote for you?
Because I am the future of radio without even realising it. Grimmy's show, for example, his tune this week is Iggy Azalea. And I think you'll find in a famous publication last week, he mentioned me for introducing him to her.
To that, right.
As for Charlie, well, it's Charlie, innit?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, boring.
Right, okay, so some of these, Toddler T, are made up. Some of these are real. You've got to tell me what is what.
You can't inhale through your nose and talk at the same time.
Only one way to find out, I guess.
Loads of people are trying this now. You know that.
I think you can.
Can you?
No.
That's not really talking.
It's not talking.
It could be. He said,
do your whole show like that tonight.
Oh my God.
People would vote.
Try and prove.
Real or no real?
No
inhaling
real.
Through nose and talking. What are you saying?
I'm saying real.
No real.
Let's find out.
That one is real.
Oh.
Yes.
Already talking.
10 points to Toddler T. And next.
In 1987, a man was rushed to hospital in the US after being found trapped inside a giant version of the board game Mousetrap, which he'd built in his garage.
Ooh, tricky one. Because I can imagine someone doing that.
Someone's tried this. Someone has built Mousetrap.
Yeah.
Must have.
Yeah. Especially in the United States. So
I can say, yeah, I'm going to go real on this.
I'm going to go real as well.
That one is no real.
Oh, rubbish.
Great idea. And next.
Flo Rida wears a monocle at weekends to help correct an imbalance in his sight.
What?
Flo Rida.
Does what?
Wears a monocle. Let's hear it again.
Flo Rida wears a monocle at weekends to help correct an imbalance in his sight.
Why has he only got an imbalance at weekends?
Good point. And is it that... So what's this suggestion? That Flo Rida puts on an act the whole time? Really, is it? He's like an actor. It's like, and he wears his monocle and sort of retires to his study.
Well, no, it's to correct his sight. It's a thing.
Oh, right. But only at weekends. I'm thinking this is no real.
Yeah, I'm not having that.
No?
To be honest.
I mean, I've never seen the Monocle, but then I've never met him on a weekend. Yeah. Actually, that's not true. Mm. I've met him at Radio 1's big weekend. That was a weekend. Boom. There was no Monocle. I'm saying, I'm not even playing. I'm saying no real.
No real.
That one is no real.
Yeah, thought so. And finally,
Christmas Lights hitmakers Coldplay have not always been known by their current name. Previous incarnations of the band have been called Trombolees, Big Fat Noises, Pectorals, and Starfish.
All rubbish names.
Mm.
Coldplay.
What are you saying, Steve?
Took a while before they got to Coldplay.
Struggling with this one.
I don't know. I don't know how they would have come up with it in the first place, why they would settle on that. It's not the most... Can you play it again? Sorry, one more. What were the options?
It's quite a lot to take in. I'll give it to you again, boys.
Christmas Lights hitmakers Coldplay have not always been known by their current name. Previous incarnations of the band have been called Trombolees, Big Fat Noises, Pectorals, and Starfish.
All of them. That's a lot of band
names,
isn't it?
Yeah.
But you would have dealt at Big Fat Noises, wouldn't you? Because that's a good name.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have no dealt on that and then come up with Coldplay. So I'm thinking this is no real.
You see, Coldplay isn't a great name,
no.
But because they're just Coldplay and they've always been around, you just kind of accept it. That's just there.
Yeah.
So, is that real or no real?
No real.
No real.
That one is real.
Wow.
Oh, that's a good one for the pub, that one.
Big Fat Noises or something.
Yeah. And Trombolees. Awful.
Oh.
Okay, so at the end of that...
I scored 10, T scored 20.
Yeah.
Which bodes well for tonight, I think you'll find.
Set me up good.
Oh, also, can I just say, if you believe that Toddler T is the future of radio tonight from 7 o'clock, already people are saying it on text and Twitter that he definitely is, then you have to put elect toddler and it's is with two T's.
No, it's elect, so E-L-E-C-T.
And then?
T-O-D-D-L-A.
That's right. So two T's in it. I said one earlier.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Good luck for tonight,
mate. Thank you, man.
Thank you. All right. So that was Wednesday's show. Join us tomorrow from 1 o'clock when Getting Wet at 1:45 will be Arge off of The Only Way is Essex on Innuendo Bingo.